Take a seat. So, as I said, this tonight concludes our series on Habakkuk. But let me start off by asking the question, have you ever had a time in your life where you were both scared but really excited as well at the same time? Now, it probably happened to all of us. Now, like always, I even have a story to tell this sort of thing. And I have to prefix this story by saying this is probably one of the dumbest things I ever did, and I do not recommend to do this to anyone at home. But there's a story out there, out of our life experiences. We all enjoy it. Now, so I've done some pretty dumb things in my life. This one is pretty up there. When I was about 17 or so, a bunch of friends, we thought we'd go to a swimming hole near Melton. Yes, Melton. A great place, western suburbs. Not much in it, but it's okay. So it's about half an hour away from it. And I was like in a state forest, state park. And so there was a cliff side of the swimming hole, which is really cool. And so one of the main reasons I went along is I was, as I said, 17 at the time, and I had a crush on this girl, and she was coming along too, and I thought, she's coming, I'm coming too. You do those sort of things. So we all went along, we were a bunch of friends, we saw the swimming in the hole, it was great. And so when we got there, we had a moment to ourselves, because there was one other group that was there at the same time. So we saw this other group jumping off the cliff faces. Different areas of the cliff faces. So they were jumping from about 5 to 10 metres, and I thought, some of the guys said, we should go jump off the cliff face. And me being one of the impressive girls, so I thought, I can do that. That'd be really cool. So we started off at the 5 metre one, which is great. So I think probably about the roof now. So that was okay. And so we all did that. And we got up to the 10 metre one, because that's where these other guys were jumping from. I thought, we all thought about it. We all jumped on the 10-metre one. Now, the 10-metre one is an Olympic diving board, the top one from there, so that was good. We were all doing that. And then we were about to stop. I thought, we might go in for a bit. And then I saw these other guys jumping from between 15 and 20 metres high. And so, three to four times where we are now, the rig's there, and then, double the size of the Olympic diving board. And I saw this guy do it, and I thought, I know what I'm impressed this girl. Like, could you've done anything girls would be impressed by that sort of stuff? When I know they're not. Now with hindsight, and maybe it's with the relationships years later, girls aren't impressed by that sort of stuff. But pretty much now, I thought they were. And so I thought, as I said, it's 15 to 20 minutes drop in, and when I saw this other guy doing it, I thought, yeah, I can do that. And so this other my friend said, no, I don't want to do it. And so I one up for me as well. My other friends aren't doing it. And so I was more impressive in front of this girl, so I can do it. And so I walked up the things, and it takes a few more minutes to get up there. And as I was walking up higher and higher, my other friends had gone back to the swimming hole and watched me do it. And as I was getting higher and higher, I saw the water getting further and further away. I thought, oh no, what am I doing here? And so I got up to the top where this other guy had just jumped off. And so I'm sitting there by myself, thinking, I look down, and I'm thinking, there's no way on earth I can do this. How on earth am I going to do this? I said, I can't go back there now, because I'm not going to be impressed in front of this girl. I was going to go cheating out or something. I can't sit there. I can't do anything now. What am I going to do now? So I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, can you do that step where you try to sit down and then some rocks fall off and all of a sudden you see the rocks go down and even that made me scared even more. What am I going to do now? So I did what anyone would do in a crisis. I prayed. I sat down on the edge and I prayed. I said, God, what am I doing up here? I prayed and I spent a couple of minutes in there. And I'm not too sure what my friends were doing at the same time. But when I opened my eyes and lifted my head, all I could see was this, the beauty of the state forest. was around me was the beauty of God. I had no longer thought what I was actually doing then. I had no longer thought what I was actually doing. I thought, well, all I can see is the tree, I can see some water, I can see some beautiful forest and a beautiful sign over there. I thought, wow. But in the mind of God here, I still thought, well, I still had to look down. I thought, what am I going to do here? But there was this inner sense of calm. This is the calm about it, stuff like that. I thought, well, now the stupid thing was, as I said, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever done because, you know, you shouldn't jump in water hole because you don't know how deep it is. You know, there's so many different risk factors there are. And so, but that was no longer in my head anymore. I thought, well, I can actually do this. So, without thinking, I thought, in this moment, it's a real moment with God, but I'll just do it. So I stepped out and I decided to drop. And it was great. I had a great feeling. But halfway, a quarter of the way down, I thought, I'm going to hit the water. What am I going to do next? So I thought, well, how am I going to hit the water? And obviously I wasn't taking this long, but if I hadn't taken this long, I would hit the water. So I thought, okay, I'm like that, like the head first. Hands up in the air first. And I thought, halfway down, I thought, no, that's not a good idea. So I thought, okay, down, straight down like that. However, I didn't make that decision quick enough. So when I entered the water, I almost entered the water just like that. And when I did my arm swap in that thing, and I'm really, really sore. And so when I got out of the water, I think, oh, it's okay, sore. But even just as I got out of the water, all my arms were starting to get blue and bruised already. And so that's why I say it's one of the dumbest things I've ever done, but I don't do that. But as I said, in that moment, just when I was about to jump, I had one of those moments where I was both excited and full of joy and scared at the same time. Now this is where sort of Habakkuk is at the moment. He's at this point where he's both scared of what's going to happen, but he's also found joy and strength in the Lord. So just a recap of what we've done in the first 5 weeks beforehand. He's living in Judah, and everything around him is really bad. Really, people are worshipping other idols and gods. Really, he's heartbroken for the town. And he says, God, why aren't you doing anything? And God says, yeah, I'm going to do something. Those people, the Babylonians, the ruthless ones you don't like, I'm going to send them in and destroy the nation. And Habakkuk says, well, okay, but what? What are you doing now? What on earth are you doing now? And so God says back again to him and says, look, it's okay, I'm going to watch this God. I'll come to serve all people, and I'll be going to attack them, and it'll be okay. And so last week, we see that the turn of Habakkuk to say, trust in God. Because what happened last week, we talked about, is that he was able to recount memories from before. I said, okay, I remember when you led Moses through to the promised land, I mean, you led Moses everywhere else. You can help me now. And so we come to the last three verses of the entire book. And so we're going to read it out from here. It says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. The cake crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, there are no sheep in the pen, there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God and my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. First of all, he ends his book with this. So the first couple of verses are really cool. I love this last section. In fact, I love the last chapter. Because this is, as we talked about last week, it's this beautiful song that would have gotten read out in a situation like this. So no longer is it a personal dialogue with God. It moves to a point where Habakkuk is talking to his fellow people and saying, this is where I have strength in God. This is where I'm living now, God. Bad times are ahead, but this is where my strength is. And so now, the last three verses is really cool. And so this one, when I'm talking about being scared, but excited at the same time, this is what Habakkuk is like. Yes, I heard my heart pounding. My the sound, my bones creaking. Okay? The cat crept in there. I'm physically sick with fear. But that's not the end of it. Yet I wait for what you're going to do, right? I wait for what you're going to do. Even though I'm so scared that I'm physically shaking and my body's all over the place, I'm going to wait for what you're going to do, God. His fear of God helped him maintain his faith. See, again, the next section is really, really cool as well. I touched on this briefly last time. And it goes on to say, hey, that even though the trees over there have no buds, the vines over there have no grapes, the fields have no food, the pens have no sheep, I'm going to praise you. I'm still going to find something to praise about God. For many people today and today's society, they only praise God or think about God when something good is going to happen. When something good is happening. Or they use it as a bit of a bargaining chip to say, look, if I find my keys right now, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. If I win lottery, I'm going to give half the money to church. And so we use that as a bit of a bargaining chip. So when things are going well, we think our relationship with God is going well. But Habakkuk here is not the same. He Habakkuk is saying, my love for you is not based on anything that's happened before. If anything's happening now, it is based on you, God. It's based on how you treat me. I don't care if I don't have any food on the table. I don't care if I don't have lots of money. My joy comes from knowing you and what you've done for me, God. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior.
That's what the next one says.
I'll be joyful in my God, my Savior. This is pre-Jesus Christ. So pre-Jesus dying for them, they don't even have a sense that God saves them. They don't even have a sense that, hey, God is our Savior. See, things can come and go, but I will be joyful because of what I know about God. See, for us, post-Jesus, we understand it even more. We understand the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. He died for us. When we didn't deserve it, he got hung on a cross for us. And so when we hit uncertainty times in our lives, we understand that Jesus died for us. You have a cup now comes out and says, hey, I'll find joy in God, my Savior. What a prayer of strength, of prayer, the testimony of faith in God. He's out in front of his fellow people, says, hey, all this bad stuff around me, I have strength in God. I have faith in God because I know he's at the wrath of us. See, he uses a wonderful analogy of a deer. It's a nice big deer. And I'm not too sure if you had much to do with deer. I mean, hey, there's been a fair few deers around here like that, isn't there? There was one terrorizing Northern Secondary College and and there was one in the back here in when playgroup was on. So you can imagine five to 3 year olds running around. And they, now I heard that. I heard there was one here. I thought, oh, I've got to leave the door open. How did we get in the back there? But what you know about deers is deers have two-toed hooves. They have long legs, powerful muscles. They are able to run more than 60 k's an hour and jump over 3 metres. So, you can just imagine there, it doesn't look like it's got strong legs. But they can jump over 3 metres. And what I heard is that I think it jumped over your feet. they jumped over the back there, over the fence. So if you ever get a chance to see some of the fences out there, it just jumps over. Like, they don't even care in the world. It's got cornered by a couple of little kids and just jumped over the fence.
I googled how high can a deer jump.
Yeah?
The answer was as high as a deer needs to jump.
So this D is Tinjana. And so when we go back to the analogy of what God's and what having that says, may my feet be like the feet of a deer, enables me to tread on height. So when he uses that analogy, he's thinking about this sort of stuff now. He's thinking about, hey, deers can do powerful things with their legs. But also, back in those days as well, they have that short footing as well. I mean, they tumble down anywhere. They have a cliff face like this, and their two hooves would be fine on here. So they have steady feeding. They have strong hind legs and steady feeding. So when Habakkuk raises this analogy, he said, that's what God does to me. God gives me strength, and he steadies my feeding so I can do anything. So I can jump over fences. So I can survive this day. I can run fast. I won't fall over. So when Habakkuk says that, that's what he means. See, mission, there's a great missionary called Hudson Taylor. You're going to get a chance to Google him, please do. He was a missionary to China, and one of the first Europeans to go to China and actually blend into the Chinese and wear what they were wearing at the same time. So he took his family there, he took his wife around, and they experienced countless difficulties there. They included the death of their daughter. But they said, even though the climate here, nerves get so fretted. The temptation, irritability, hard thoughts, or sometimes unkind words, are more than difficult to control. Yet Taylor wrote, God should place me in such a great place. Must he not give me the guidance in position of great difficulty? Much grace, much circumstance of great pressure and trial, much strength. No fear that his resources will be unequal to the emergency. And God's resources are mine, but he is mine, and he is with me. And dwells in me. He is someone living the life, modern day life, not back in the old days there. To say, hey, even though trouble's around me, my strength is in God. But Hudson, he knows where the fear is coming in, his faith will overcome him. His strength in God will overcome him. So, as I close, I want to recap over the last 5 weeks. Of all the sort of messages that we have talked about here. And the book opened up by saying, hey, it's okay to be angry with God sometimes. It's okay to have an argument with God sometimes, but don't let this in you. Don't let it be overrun with you. Week 2 is God is always working. We can't say, talk, said, when circumstances don't make sense, we should trust God as power over them. And God's timing is perfect. His works in our life are gloriously good. In the last couple of weeks, when all hope is lost, remember how God has worked in your life before and how God has worked throughout history. And tonight, when things are tough, find strength and joy in Jesus Christ, our Savior, because he loves us so much. See, this book of Habakkuk is a great illustration of when someone turns from being angry with God to being full of strength and power of God. He found joy in the previous events of the past. He found joy in now God. All we need to look upon is Jesus and how he saved us. He turns that fear around. We have strength in him. For some of us, it's easy to understand that. For some of us, we still struggle with that. And from time to time, as we have talked about, we get to hit those dark points in our lives when we can't see that. We can't see God working. We can't easily see that God is with us. But be encouraged to come back to this book. Be encouraged to come back to this story and say, hey, God is still working within us. God loves us. God is a Savior. And as I said before, we need prayer for anything tonight. We're more than happy to sit down with people and pray about this sort of stuff. But at the moment, let's close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for the examples. Thank you for the examples of the Old Testament prophet and the Lord. Who once he had feelings like we all do of anger and frustration. But after conversations with you, he's reminded of his faith in you. Lord, when we hit those tough times ourselves, when we struggle, hit those struggles ourselves as well, Well, let us be reminded of you. Let us be reminded of what you did for us. Let our joy and strength overcome those fears and anxiety we have. Lord, it's okay for us to have fear and excitement at the same time. But Lord, when sometimes when fear is winning, remind us